Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On the Friday in the octave of Easter, April 5th, happy Friday, happy Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. We're going to discuss all the great coverage that we'll have for you, for EWTN, of course, of Divine Mercy Sunday from the center in Stockbridge. What a beautiful, beautiful afternoon of events it will be, I'm sure. Several hours of coverage, and Doug Keck will fill us in because it is Inside Word time at 15 minutes past the hour after the weather and the news and all that good stuff. Doug, of course, our president and chief operating officer of the network. Fact Check Friday at the bottom of the hour, a very interesting hearing taking place very soon in Washington regarding journalism and the attacks on reporters, especially reporters who are covering things that the left doesn't like. In particular, we're talking about Catherine Herridge and also Cheryl Atkinson, who was both were fired from CBS, or I think Cheryl left. I'm going to relook at that before we have that segment. But it's really an interesting story because Catherine had her information taken by the network when she left. And so all of her contacts, her sources, and details of the work that she did as an investigative reporter, very unusual for that to happen. Now, CBS is saying, oh, it's no big deal, and we gave it all back. But no, it is a very big deal. So there's a special hearing going on because she apparently was under pressure not to do particular stories about the current administration and the president's son. And then Cheryl, when she was working in the secular media, the legacy media, she's now got her own outfit and she's got her own outlet. She does a lot of outreach and works for different organizations. But when she was working in the secular media, for legacy media, she was under pressure not to do certain stories and investigations for the Obama administration. So it's very interesting, and Jim Jordan is going to be leading that hearing, and we'll talk about that in Fed Check Friday, give you a little bit more information. Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, the one, the only, joins us. We're going to share some more details about the story that we discussed on Wednesday when we had the cultural connections with Father Mitch Pacwa. We talked about the whole Easter egg situation. You know how they have the Easter egg hunt and roll every year at the White House? Well, there were stories out there that the White House had stated that there were not supposed to be any religious symbols on those Easter eggs, which followed up, which had already been established as Trans Visibility Day, but the White House and the president made a big deal out of it by putting a big proclamation. You know that story. Well, other stories now are surfacing about the religious Easter eggs, and Bill Donahue is going to bring us up to date on that. Apparently, the information he found, and he went back several presidencies and found that other presidents have had and allowed religious symbols on the Easter eggs, which makes perfect sense because we're talking about Easter, or one would think. So we'll discuss with Bill Donahue at 39 minutes past the hour. So that's a show today, Doug Keck, Fact Check Friday, and, of course, Bill Donahue on a Friday morning. As far as the weather is concerned, boy, the New England area got hit really hard with winter storms, and according to the National Weather Service, that winter storm is continuing to impact that part of the country. And there's also a Pacific storm moving through the western part of the U.S. So here we go. Here's the national weather forecast. Low pressure moving through the Gulf of Maine, continuing snow showers over northern New York, New England, and the spine of the Appalachians into West Virginia for today, even into tomorrow. And then, as we mentioned, we have a Pacific storm crossing the western U.S., continuing to bring gusty to high winds, low elevation rain, and high elevation snow into the region through today before moving to the central part of the country later today and into tomorrow. So keep that in mind because there's still some rough weather out there, a lot of snow and rain. Even though it says spring on the calendar, it doesn't feel like that in many parts of the country. Before we begin the news, it's 4 minutes past the hour. I do want to encourage you, and I'm sure you do this already, to read your scriptures every day, of course, in mass readings. It's a great way to stay close to the church and the Lord. But I love the reading for today. The Gospel of John 21, 1 through 14, it takes place outside my favorite church, the spot where the church was built, along the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, the primacy of Peter. This is the leading into the primacy, the reading for today. It's, of course, after the crucifixion. It's after the resurrection, actually, but Peter was still not sure what was going on. He was very, very downtrodden. And so what does he decide to do? He decides to get back in the boat and says, I'm going fishing. Now, that one line, I am going fishing, Sounds pretty simple, no big deal. He's a fisherman. But it is a big deal because he couldn't catch anything. And why couldn't he catch anything, you ask? Because he was supposed to be not fishing for fish, as in fish in the water. He was supposed to be fishing for men and women. So I think it's a reminder for us not to think that if things don't go our way or if we're having challenges or maybe overwhelmed, that we have to, you know, stay where we're at, not move anywhere. Well, let's just do this because, as the old saying goes, the devil that we know is better than the devil we don't know. We'll settle for this. No, don't settle. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep moving forward. And there's an old saying, if you want to walk on water or water, as my mother used to say, you have to get out of the boat. So if you're going fishing, fish the way the Lord wants you to fish, not your own way. Just a thought for today for the reading. Love it. From John 21. It is 6 minutes past the hour. A ton of news to get through on a busy Friday morning, April 5th, in the octave of Easter. Let's hear what's happening in and around the world on a Friday. Hundreds of thousands are without power, as we mentioned, as that late season nor'easter burying part of New England in over a foot of snow. The National Weather Service says the heaviest snow has now ended, but several more inches are still possible this morning across Maine and New Hampshire, with winds gusting up to 35 miles per hour. Power outages and dangerous driving conditions should continue across the region, where gusty winds and heavy snow have left many roads there impassable and down power lines and broken tree branches as well. Over 400,000 utility customers currently without power across the New England area. In other news this morning, a pro-life Catholic lawmaker, as Catholic News Agency tells us in a report today, in the Nebraska legislature is now switching his party registration. He was a Democrat. He's now becoming a Republican, he says, because of the Democratic Party's staunch support of abortion. Senator Mike McDonnell, who had been a registered Democrat for 40 years before this week, said in a news conference, according to CNA, that his party change was caused by the Democratic Party's refusal to respect his pro-life views, which he said is grounded in his Catholic faith. He was first elected back in 2016. Now, while serving in the Nebraska legislature, he was a lone Democrat to support a bill that would have banned nearly all abortions in the state. That bill did not pass. He was also the only Democrat to vote for a bill that prohibited doctors from providing transgender drugs and surgeries to minors, which ultimately passed and was then signed into law. Now, because of these votes, the Democratic Party of Douglas County withdrew its support for McDonnell and stripped him of his voting rights on internal matters within the county party. He later faced a censure also from the Democratic Party of Nebraska. His announcement will significantly shake up Nebraska's politics by giving the GOP there a two-thirds majority in the state's legislature to overcome a filibuster. Most bills need support from two-thirds of the body. Be forgiven bearers of forgiveness, healed bearers of healing, joyful and simple in fraternity, all in the strength of love, which flows from the Lord's side and which is nourished in your personal encounters with him. As Devin Watkins reports from the Vatican, Pope Francis offered those words of encouragement to Franciscan friars today as they celebrate the 8th centenary of the Stigmata of St. Francis of Assisi, which he received in the central Italian town of Liverna back in 1224 on September 17th.
To mark the event, the Pope held an audience on Friday in the Vatican with friars minor of Liverna and the Tuscan province. In his address, Pope Francis urged Christians to seek to conform ourselves to the image of Christ poor and crucified. He said St. Francis of Assisi's stigmata wounds were an eloquent sign of both the suffering Christ endured for our salvation and his victory over death. It is precisely through his wounds, he said, that the mercy of the crucified and risen Christ flows toward us like through channels. The Pope noted that every Christian has the duty to care for all the stigmatized people they meet who bear the scars of suffering and injustice or past mistakes. St. Francis added the Pope acts as a companion on our way, helping us to overcome crushing difficulties and fears. The Holy Father went on to reflect on the image of the stigmata in the life of every Franciscan. He emphasized the need for Franciscans to be united among themselves and to always forgive as part of their mission to repair the Church.
President Biden telling Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday during a phone call He wants an immediate ceasefire in the Israeli-Hamas war, Biden saying it's essential to stabilize the humanitarian situation, urging the prime minister to hammer out, he said, a deal to bring the hostages home. Secretary of State Antony Blinken saying the president told Netanyahu that the airstrikes that killed 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers were unacceptable. The Jewish Claims Conference launching the new International Survivor Speakers Bureau today. Executive VP Greg Schneider says about 40 of the 270 Holocaust survivor participants are from the state of Florida.
What's amazing is that this will be the last opportunity. This generation of students will be the last that will have the opportunity to hear directly from Holocaust survivors.
The speaker series coming, of course, during the ongoing war in Israel. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers out with a tentative timeline for restoring a safe navigation into and out of the Port of Baltimore after that catastrophic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Engineers do plan to reopen a permanent 700-foot-wide, 50-foot-deep federal navigation channel by the end of next month, so operations can possibly return to somewhat of a normal schedule. And a disturbing trend is happening in Manhattan, as Paul DeCastro tells us, with men randomly punching in the face in broad daylight.
Cops say back on March 20th, a 33-year-old woman suffered minor injuries after being punched in the face by a man at around 4:30 p.m. in Union Square. Police say they have investigated 12 similar incidents over the past 2 weeks.
I was punched in the head in New York City.
He goes, sorry, and then punches me in the head.
He spit all over me and then punched me in the side of the face.
Cops have arrested 6 men. At this point, police are saying the attacks are not connected. The investigation is ongoing.
Governor Ron DeSantis citing legislation protecting Florida's natural resources, such as the Everglades. He says the state has budgeted billions to protect the waterways.
And our pledge was over these next 4 years to do $3.5 billion for Everglades restoration and protection of our water quality.
DeSantis says since 2019, the state has completed or started 65 Everglades projects. He said the bill he signed yesterday will provide an additional $150 million for repairs and upgrades to Central and South Florida water management systems. The Seminole tribe thanked DeSantis for his conservation efforts. Aaron Rial tells us that Minnesota is the most financially literate state with financial education baked into the K-12 curriculum. But where do the rest of the states in the country rank in terms of financial literacy?
WalletHub analyzed financial education programs and consumer habits across America. Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Colorado, and New Hampshire took the top 5 spots for the most financially literate states, while Arkansas, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Kentucky, and Alaska were at the bottom of the list. At a time of high inflation and economic uncertainty, policymakers are exploring what can be done to improve financial literacy and to what degree should it be a part of K-12 curriculum.
Tax experts say if you're a first-time tax filer, make sure you obey the rules because pleading ignorance will not exactly cut it with the IRS. Orrin Adler is a certified public accountant in Fairlawn, New Jersey, says forget about it when trying to game the system because the IRS, he says, they'll find out.
When you get a W-2, when you get a 1099, those documents are also sent to the government, and they make sure that your information is reported properly. So it's very important to be compliant, but to also use the tax code to minimize your taxes.
It's important, he says, to have all of your documents in order before you file, including a W-2 if you're a company employee or a 1099 if you're a gig worker, plus your bank statement. He also says first-time filers should make sure to take all the deductions they're entitled to, including student loan interest deductions, earned income tax credits, and child tax credits. He also recommends filing electronically and says refund checks are often issued in less than a week or two. And Mark Mayfield tells us this morning excitement is growing for Monday's solar eclipse.
It's the first total eclipse in the U.S. since 2017, and it will be the last one seen here until 2044. The path of totality, where the sun is completely covered by the moon, will begin crossing the U.S. at around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time and finish about an hour later. If you're in the path for a few minutes, you'll see the moon completely block out the sun's light while the air gets colder. Totality will occur in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine.
And cadets, meanwhile, at the United States Air Force Academy are set to study the solar eclipse on Monday.
I know not everyone has the opportunity to, and I'm looking forward to help collect data that will go to NASA, their peers, and the Air Force to help protect our assets in space and ensure everyone here on Earth maintains their communication and weather and everything like that.
That was Cadet Tom Young. The cadets are one of about 40 teams that will be supporting NASA research and studying the sun's corona to learn more about the outer layers, which will only be visible during the eclipse. 19 members of the United States Air Force will be stationed in Texas and Illinois, which, as you heard from Mark Mayfield, are in the path of totality. They will collect information by using digital cameras, solar telescopes with special filters, polarization cameras, and event-based cameras. The information gathered during the eclipse can provide more insight into space weather, they think, and it's also crucial, they say, for safeguarding technologies such as electrical grids, satellite communications, and GPS. It's 9:16 Eastern Time. Thanks for joining us on Catholic Connection on a Friday in the octave of Easter, Easter Friday, April 5th, 2024, moving into Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. So exciting because EWTN is going to be there for all the big events at Stockbridge at the Divine Mercy Center. Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer, of course, and President of the Network, is standing by to talk to us about all that great coverage and so much more right here on EWTN's Catholic Connection on a Friday. More of that after the break, and also at the bottom of the hour after we're finished talking with Doug and getting all that great information about super-duper programming. We're going to be talking about Fact Check Friday and then wrapping up a Friday with our friend Bill Donahue from the Catholic League. All of that plus you. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN's Catholic Connection. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Al Kressler, President and CEO of Ave Maria Radio. Jesus Christ is our hope in this age and in the age to come. His resurrection invites us to look at our future with joy and confidence. He's overcome and defied the secular assumptions of this age. And with Jesus, eternal life begins now. Ave Maria Radio is radio for your life in your pursuit of eternity. So join us for our spring pledge drive that's on air or online at AveMariaRadio.net.
When I heard other business owners say they finally found someone in the credit card industry they can trust, I wondered how he could help me. So when Mark from Schisler CPC offered to show me where all the money goes for credit card processing with a free analysis of my business, I jumped on it. He reviewed how the industry works, where we could save, and offered a no-contract guarantee on savings and excellent customer service. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. Schisler CPC. Trust in them.
More information available on the Ave Maria website under Sponsor Business Directory.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
Join Charity Mobile, the pro-life, pro-family phone company for nearly 30 years. New customers get a free phone or $100 off, plus free shipping and free activation. Use promo code AVE, A-V-E. There is no contract or termination fees. 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Our pro-life reps are based in the USA. Enjoy great coverage and great service. Join Charity Mobile, and buy the way you believe. Go to charitymobile.com/AVE.
Almost 19 minutes past the hour already on a Friday morning in the octave of Easter. Always great to catch up with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer. We call this segment Inside Word because we're giving you the inside scoop, so to speak, on what's coming up in EWTN programming so you can make a note of it. And, of course, all the details that Doug gives every week can be found after the interview at EWTN.com. But it's always fun just to talk about the upcoming event. So, Doug, this is a big weekend, Divine Mercy weekend. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. As you headlined it, it's really a big part of what we have this weekend. Now, tomorrow we have a program with the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, featuring Sister John Dominic and Mother Veritas talking about the sacraments and the initiation, because a lot, obviously, between, Easter, the vigil, and people coming into the church, and then other young people getting the sacraments coming up in this month and next month, obviously. So people can check that out, and that'll be tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We've also got, then we roll basically into our programming on Sunday, Divine Mercy Celebration from Vilnius, Lithuania, which will be airing live at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. one of the great locations associated with Divine Mercy in Europe. And then, of course, as you alluded to with Stockbridge, Divine Mercy Preview Show coming up at noon Eastern Time from the Shrine in Stockbridge, as we have done every year. And then the celebration following the Mass, obviously, right after it at 1 p.m. But really, it's a package deal. You really got to tune in at noon. And then for our own sisters, we've got the Divine Mercy Holy Hour from Hanceville, which we've been doing for many, many years as well. And that's at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, of course, 3 p.m. Central. That's why it's off by an hour. But that is for Divine Mercy, and that is also on Sunday. And then we've got some additional programming next week. On Monday, Solemn Mass of the Annunciation, coming from our home in England, which is the Walsingham Cathedral, the shrine there of mm-hmm. Our Lady of Walsingham. And that's going to be airing, tape delayed, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, right after basically our Mass from our chapel. And we've got new episodes of The Journey Home airing next week. That's kind of interesting because it's about a woman who was raised in a Wiccan family. Kind of interesting
really?
Story. Yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Check that out. And then as we roll into later next week, Catholic Sphere has a program featured on young people having to do with witnessing to authentic masculinity on social media with Ryan Penny. And new episode of Vaticano featuring, and some of those pictures have already shown up, of some pictures that had never before seen of Padre Pio. So check that out next week as well. And as you alluded to, EWTN.com, you can get all the information. And, of course, if you missed any of our great programming, check out our on-demand page, our YouTube channel, and also our wonderful podcast. We've got Podcast Central with all our wonderful radio podcasts, TV podcasts are there, and what we call the best of the rest, where we've taken a lot of the great Catholic podcasts that are out and about on the internet and on people's iPhones and put them into a location where you can search through those. We've got at least 50 additional ones that people can look at and maybe discover some new outlets.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I was telling you during the break that, you know, I signed up, I get the free e-newsletter that we put out, EW10. It's so informative.
Right.
And the Easter one was phenomenal. And after Mass on Sunday morning, went to the 10 o'clock Mass and came back, have a light brunch, and we went out to dinner later, so we had a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And I love to do a lot of reading in that time and prayer, obviously, Easter Sunday. So I used your email, and Dominic pulled it up as well. And we sat there, Doug, for like 2 or 3 hours, and we watched your episode, the second episode that you did with Father Spitzer on the Shroud. Okay. And this was back, I think it was 2017 that you did this.
Right, yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah. It was one of the earlier ones shows that we did.
But it was so absolutely good. Now, for me, I've had the blessing of seeing the Shroud twice. I did mm-hmm. two tours there to Torino. But there were so many things. And Father Spitzer, it's like, does he even have any notes? It's like everything else.
Right. Well, they are. They're implanted. They're implanted in his brain. That's what it is.
But it was so good, the questions that came in from the audience and just the discussion that you had. Right. And then there were all these links on that one e-blast to like different homilies from different saints and different the meaning of Easter. Right. Where do we get that? It was really well done. So you've got everything you just mentioned, but then if you sign up for the e-blast, the free e-newsletter, right, there's more information there. I mean, we did the whole afternoon based on the e-blast that we had.
That's great. Well, that's the idea, obviously. In so many ways, we really have a plethora of wonderful, wonderful programs, some of whom have been produced over, going back there, like 7 years, that have been produced over the last 27 years or 30 years, and wonderful programs, you know, with Father Benedict Rochelle and Father Dubé, these people who are no longer with us, who really were, you know, saints walking on earth, and so insightful. And so much of this wonderful knowledge has been captured thanks to Mother Angelica's EWTN network. And a lot of it's, you know, we're trying to make it more and more available. So we're even reworking, had a producer assigned to taking some of our older programs like Duvet shows and, you know, maybe going through there, maybe upgrading the graphics and things like that and re-platforming them. But the message is so solid and so unique and comes from somebody who, unfortunately, is no longer with us.
Right.
And a new generation really should benefit from.
Well, what was so great, and I love to research, but everything is there for you, and you had links to the documents, but then the articles, and then you had the shows, and there was another show of Mother Angelica and another priest, and it was just really well done. And again, as you said, I mean, the resources are just endless, and so people need to take advantage of it, because I saw this trial twice, and I thought I knew a lot about it, but listening to your program, I learned so much, additional information, because I know Father Spitzer has done a ton of research on this,
absolutely,
of which I was not aware, so it was just a great lesson for me and a really enjoyable Easter Sunday, because you had so many of those great resources right at our fingertips.
If I want to take it easy on a show, all I have to do is throw a question about the shroud, and I can kind of I could get up and leave and come back in about 10
minutes.
Get a
cup of coffee, come back, go to a doctor's appointment.
Right, because it just pours forth. So,
he's amazing,
absolutely.
Though. Great amazing show. Listen, you have a great weekend. Thanks
you
for everything.
Too, my friend.
And really appreciate it. Look forward to the coverage on Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. Our very own Doug Keck, our president, chief operating officer of the network. Great stuff, available. Take advantage of it. It's all free. It's there for you. EWTN.com. We'll be right back. Hope you're having a great Friday morning, April 5th, 2024, in the octave of Easter. This is Fact Check Friday. If you're a new listener, welcome on board, EWTN.com. And what we do here on Fridays is we take a look at stories and do our own fact checking, so to speak. But really, it is about reminding you of how important it is to really be able to discern the sources you're receiving, where you're receiving the information. Are you getting it from a legacy media outlet? Are you getting it from maybe a conservative outlet? Are you getting it from a Catholic or other Christian outlet? And to know the background, consider the source. It's a very important saying, which really used to be only for reporters, consider the source. And that meant, okay, well, what does a source have to gain? If you're interviewing someone, they say they have a big story. What do they have to gain by that? And then, of course, consider the source and follow the money. That's another big one. And so we take a look at this every week, and I started doing this during the, I think it was the 2020 election, so it's been several years now. And for me, it means a lot, because if you don't know my background, I spent half of my life, 20 years, I'm on the air 43 years now, and 20 of that was as a secular reporter in a major market in Detroit for both radio, TV, and print. I did all three. And I did print more freelance while I was doing radio and TV full-time, but that's my background. That's my degree in journalism. I graduated with a journalism degree in 1981. You can do the math, but if you're wondering, I'm 64 years old. I've been on the air for 43 years, so just throwing that out there. So it means a lot to me to really talk about this issue, because it is so important, especially as Catholic Christians. We have to consider the source, because people are trying to tell us at the Catholic faith is one thing when it's another. We see what's happening. We'll talk about this next after this segment with Bill Donahue about the President of the United States, who claims to be Catholic, but every time we turn around is doing something against church teaching, and very openly and very strongly. So how do we look at that? So a couple things to talk about with Bill. But what I wanted to mention today was a story that is super interesting, and two reporters that I really respect, one of whom used to work for Fox News, and then she went to work for CBS, and she was fired back in February when CBS News laid off a whole bunch of people, Paramount, right? CBS owned by Paramount. They laid off like 800 people in the news department, and she was one of them, which was a shocker because she's such a good reporter, and she was just doing so many really important and very good stories. So what's happening is they're going to take a look at what happened with her specifically, because confidential materials were confiscated from her when she was laid off from CBS. So let me just read you this story. Catherine Herridge, the ex-CBS News correspondent who saw her files seized by the network after her controversial firing in February, is set to break her silence before the House Judiciary Committee. The acclaimed investigative reporter, known for reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, will testify next week before the powerful panel on the still murky circumstances surrounding her exit from CBS News. This according to a source close to the situation. The potentially explosive hearing titled Fighting for a Free Press Protects Journalists and Their Sources will take place at 9:30 a.m. April 11th. Okay, so that's next week, the middle of next week. In addition to Heritage, the SAG-AFTRA, which is a union representing news people, the SAG-AFTRA Chief News and Broadcast Officer, Mary Calavaro, will speak about the union's negotiations with CBS to return the reporter's confidential materials after she was let go, according to the source. CBS News did not comment on whether the network will be sending a representative to the hearing. The House Judiciary Committee Chair, Jim Jordan of Ohio, demanded CBS turn over information surrounding the circumstances after the seizure, which happened, and they asked them to do that by March 1st. While some sources, this report says, have called the seizure unprecedented at CBS, the network insisted in a written response to the committee that the episode was not unusual. Now, to me, that's a shocker, because that is very unusual for a reporter's notes or files to be seized, especially an investigative reporter. And you're letting someone go and you seize their files. Why? So as an investigative reporter, as a reporter in general, your sources, your contacts are huge in terms of your body of work and your reputation. The first thing I thought of was, okay, she did something the network and the left didn't like. They come to find out that she was actually pressured not to do a few stories on Hunter Biden. And apparently, maybe CBS, and this is what is being inferred in many of the stories, received some phone calls from certain people, told her to back off, and she didn't. And so when this whole slew of layoffs came, she was part of it. Very questionable about this whole thing, how this whole thing happened. So the union was key in negotiating the safe return of the files, which were eventually given back to her, but questions are still lingering as to why CBS News held them. At the time, CBS said no one had rifled through the files. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. We were born, but not yesterday. And that they were eventually locked inside her former office. Heritage, who was in the middle of a First Amendment case being closely watched by journalists nationwide, was among 20 CBS News staffers who were let go as part of a larger purge of employees. During a time at CBS, she had encountered roadblocks from higher-ups over Hunter Biden coverage, sources said. She also clashed with CBS News president Ingrid Cyprian Matthews, who was investigated and then cleared 3 years ago over accusations of favoritism and discriminatory hiring and management practices. At the hearing next week, both Heritage and Cheryl Atkinson, who also work for CBS News, are expected to discuss the importance of the press shield law, which protects journalists and their sources from government overreach and censorship. At the time of her exit, Atkinson claimed she was spied on by government-related entities that planted classified documents on her computer. In Heritage's closely watched First Amendment case, a journalist has appealed U.S. District Judge Chris Cooper's decision to hold her in contempt for withholding the name of her source for an investigative piece she penned when she was working for Fox News 7 years ago. Now, here's another important point, which will also be brought up, I'm sure, next week. The House in January passing the Press Act, which protects journalists from being forced to disclose sources to government agencies. So this is a pretty big deal, and there's more and more of this happening, and it's super important for us to understand that when we are consuming things, especially from the legacy media, okay, that there is an agenda involved. The research goes back decades now, and I have a lot of this information in my very first book, Noise, and I saw it when I worked in the business, okay, that the media, and I did for a long time too, I was part of it before I had my reversion, the media leaned heavily to the left. Now, in a perfect world, as I always say, that shouldn't matter, because at the end of the day, as reporters, we're supposed to try as best we can to keep our opinions out of it and to attempt to get at least both sides of the story. Okay, you reach out to those involved. Not every time someone's going to talk to you. At least you tried. You put it out there. But what's happening more and more is that only one side of the issue is allowed. Now, I don't know if you heard my newscast, but you heard about the state lawmaker from Nebraska. He was a Democrat for years and now is becoming a Republican. And he was censured, and the Democratic Party in that state went after him because of the way he voted regarding the life issues and issues related to his faith, about which he was very concerned. And that kind of a messaging is only one message, only one agenda is allowed. We saw it with NBC last week with the firing of, or 2 weeks ago, of Ronna McDaniel as a contributor. This is a super important hearing that's going to be held. And if you care about the information you receive, you should want to watch it or at least learn more about it. But we'll cover it here for you as well. We'll be right back. Love his work. He does so much good for the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith. Our friend Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, and he's got some breaking news for us this morning, exclusive right here on Catholic Connection. I love it. We've got the exclusive. And this is on the story related to the Easter eggs, and we'll also take a look at the big picture with the latest attacks on the church and the White House. Bill, happy Easter, my friend. How are you?
Yes, happy Easter to you.
All right, so what's the latest news?
Well, first, let the listeners know, the other day when they came out with this idea that said all previous administrations agreed that there would be no religious themes or symbols allowed on any of the Easter eggs, I was skeptical of that. Why didn't we know about that until this time? Mm-hmm. We did look at the rules, and it is true that one of the rules says you can't have any kind of religious themes or symbols. But the question is, who decided this and when? So doing some scratching on this, I found out, by going through the Easter egg submissions in 2002 under George W. Bush, the submission by New Mexico was by a Catholic artist who did a drawing of a shrine, which is very, very popular in New Mexico, and obviously that passed muster. So how did that slip by all these bureaucrats who were checking for kind of any kind of expression of religion? That was my first point. Now, the White House, of course, is still sticking to its gun, saying everybody else is wrong on this. They're just following the rules established by the American Egg Board. So I checked the American Egg Board, found out that they're saying they're following the rules established by the Department of Agriculture, and they're saying that they are following the rules of the National Checkoff Organization, okay? So I keep looking at this. I go on to the website. I'm going to put out a statement of this morning. Went on the website of the United States Department of Agriculture, and I looked for stories on the Easter egg roll. Most of the stories were on such things as, how long can I store bread? There was one titled White House Easter Egg Roll. It was about the 2018 event. So I clicked on it, and it took me to page not found. Right? So why was that page scrubbed? Now, here's more. The American Egg Board, on Easter Sunday, March 31st, put out a statement which said, and this is probably what the White House is leaning on, this event, the White House Easter Egg Roll, must be non-discriminatory and shows no preference to any individual religious or political viewpoints, as the American Egg Board is prohibited from doing so as a national checkoff organization. A checkoff organization basically does research on agriculture, doesn't take sides on anybody. So I looked at this and I said, well, that's fine. It's true that the American Egg Board, I'm sure, cannot, as a government agency, show preference for any individual religion. But that is not dispositive. I know this area well, having written several books on the ACLU, including a PhD dissertation on the subject, and having taught constitutional law. Here's the analogy with the schools. Can a public school teacher show preference for a religion? No. What about if there's an assignment to the student in a music or art class? Do whatever you want. Sing whatever song you want and draw whatever you want. Can the teacher stop the student from singing a religious song or depicting a religious symbol? They cannot. That's the student. The student is not an agent of the state. The teacher is an agent of the state. So it's one thing for the American Egg Board to say, we are not, as a government agency, going to show religious preference. It's quite another when the government says to an artist, you can't depict a religious theme or symbol. That's not going to work.
Right.
And I just wish the media would do some digging on this instead of just accepting what the White House said.
Well, Bill, they don't do any digging on anything. I mean, there's no context. They don't pull back. They don't connect the dots. They don't ask questions. They just say whatever they're told to say, basically.
Well, you know,
and that's so sad to me.
You worked in the secular media.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, where's the context on this, and why do they just accept it? Because, well, you saw, I don't know how much you want to talk about here, but I was just talking in my Fact Check Friday segment, which I do every week, all about the news, the ridiculous meltdown at NBC over, you know, the contributor, the former head of the RNC. They went crazy when they hired her, and they forced the company. I don't know why the company did this, because all the time I was in secular media, they didn't care. They did what they wanted because they were management, right? They basically had a meltdown and basically demanded that their bosses get rid of this, you know, former RNC person, you know, Ronna McDaniel, because they thought that, oh, well, she's not a truth-sayer, as if they're a bastion of truth, you know, anybody in the legacy media.
Right.
But they tout one line, one company line, and that's it.
Well, that's the way it is. You know, listen, I've been doing the media since the 1980s, and I cut my teeth on shows like Crossfire with Pat Buchanan and Bob Novak and Michael Kinsley and people like that, Tom Braden. And then I did Hannity and Combs. There are no debate shows anymore. And there are no debate shows anymore because Jon Stewart was so angry that the liberals were losing all the time. He said that it was crude and strident and everything else and whatnot. That had something to do with it. Also has the fact that, quite frankly, because I did this stuff for years, the liberals lose when they debate conservatives almost every time. Not just to me, but to other conservatives as well. We speak common sense. We speak
right
to the people, and they have an agenda, and they don't care about lying. We can point out their lies when we confront them on a live show. They don't want to do that. So since you don't have the debates, and now MSNBC and CNN, which were at one time very welcome to me, I did their shows for decades, they've closed me out and all conservatives because it's one monolithic voice. It's that of the left, and the far left, I should say.
But think about it, though. They're showing their own weakness because if you know your stuff, you're willing to go on shows with liberals, people with whom you disagree. You've done it for years. But if you're good at what you do and you know your stuff and you know you're speaking truth, what do they care? That would be an opportunity for them to tear someone to shreds and to prove their point that this person is wrong and shouldn't be on the air in the first place. So to me, it's like laughable. Don't they understand that they're basically affirming everything we think about them?
Well, that's true, but on the other hand, the left is only exists for one reason: power, control. That's all they exist. They don't care about lying. Our side, as David Horowitz has once said, he was on the left. He moved over to our side. Our side is too nice, and they don't care about lying. They'll lie to your face. When Jen Psaki says it's wrong for Ronna McDaniel to get hired because that's a partisan view, she signed a contract while
she was still serving
in the White House.
Yeah,
I mean, she doesn't want to confront me or anybody else on something like that. So they avoid all this. There are no conservative voices left. If any Republican who's bought on The View or on MSNBC or on CNN is somebody who hates Trump, okay? So you bring in the Bill Kristols of the world and these other lunatics, and then you say that we're even-handed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Let's get back to the president for a minute. In your statement regarding the original statement, and you're going to be amending it and putting it out again today, and sign up for the great e-blast that Bill does at Catholic League, the website. We'll give you that in a minute. But let's talk about the one statement you made, which I think is so true and so important, that he's Catholic. He claims to be very devout, but he just keeps doing very anti-Catholic things from the White House.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, even Bishop Gregory, the other day, the Archbishop of Washington gave him a slap on the hands about on the question of abortion. I would take it further. You could get into transgenderism. You can
birth
get
control.
Into school choice, birth control, a million different things. Biden's relationship with God is something I don't know about, and it's none of my business. I can make judgments about the decisions that he makes affecting public policy. When it comes to religion, he is the least religion-friendly president in American history by far. I don't even know who could compete with him, including Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far gone it is. On the whole matter of sexuality, he's living in another universe. And as I've said before, I think I've said it to you and I've said it to many people, the number one civil rights issue of our time is child abuse. Child abuse committed by doctors and therapists and others who are getting to these kids. They're all confused at a young age. Most of them are girls thinking they can transition to the other sex, and they're quick to take their dollar and exploit them and to ruin them. And then when they want to detransition, go back to where they were, it's too late and they're messed up and everybody abandons them. The Biden administration is leading the charge of child abuse in this country against these kids, and that alone should wake up American people what's going on here in 2024.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that to me is so interesting, why are we ignoring, and we, I use that pronoun to refer to the current administration and politicians who are pushing these agendas. If you look in Europe, right, which is supposed to be so much more progressive, and I use that word in a negative, not a positive way, they want you to think it's positive, so many places in Europe that started down this road are now either slowing it down or ending it completely, especially when it comes to the trans, you know, puberty blockers and these very dangerous procedures and these, you know, mutilating surgeries. They're stopping it and at least reviewing it, and yet we're going, you know, darn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. I have a book coming out in June, Cultural Meltdown, and have one big chapter on transgenderism, and I trace it back to 2011 when the Dutch came out with a study which claimed that gender affirming was a good thing. They've now come out and said, no, the critics of that report were right. It was weak in methodology, and we withdraw it. The Swedes have moved away. The Brits have banned it. The Europeans are way ahead of us. The United States and Canada are the ones who are in last place. Now, the good news is that the typical American of any demographic group is against this kind of child abuse. The problem is the elites, including in the medical profession.
Right.
So we the people have to get to the elites, and I think the only way we're going to do it is through litigation. And believe me, Teresa, I'm not a big fan of just trying to litigate every problem that exists. But when it comes to this, the elites will only learn when we bankrupt them. The detransitioners, the young girls who are going through this, and in some cases boys, they're getting lawyers now, and they're busting these people because, as I pointed out several times, if a young guy came into a doctor and said, "I want you to cut off my leg," he'd say, "What? Wait, wait, mm-hmm. we got to slow this in, tap the brakes on this. You just don't walk into a doctor's office and expect me to amputate your leg. If you come in there and say, "I want you to amputate my genitals because I want to transition to the other sex," you go down to room six.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
insane.
Right.
This is
right.
madness, and it's child
yeah.
abuse.
Yeah, and when you find, speaking of child abuse, what they're finding in so much of these places, for example, in Europe, and you know this, as you talk about it in the book, is that people who are for, or prior, they used to be for all these horrible things, and then they realize what was happening, that these people who said they were going to care for the children, going to find out, is it really dysphoria, gender dysphoria, or is maybe it's something at home, they might have some sort of other, you know, mental illness, which now they're finding out, you know, there's many cases, and most of these kids are going through something, and it's not gender dysphoria, they're just convinced that it is. But these people, these whistleblowers who are very pro-transgender, were coming out and saying, we've got to put the brakes on here. And yet, where are the reporters, again, getting back to our original point, why aren't they looking at this and examining it, right? And
well,
saying, okay, let's look at this in Europe. Why are we doing this here and asking this to the White House and others who are pushing this stuff?
You know, there is some good news here. I'm not a fan of the New York Times at all. I put out a statement against them yesterday on another subject. But I have to be honest about this. Here about roughly 2 months ago, it was a woman, Paula somebody. She did a very, very lengthy report, and they tried to stop it. The trans community was angry beyond belief. They actually put in this article a lot of this material that is so true that this is damaging and the people are beginning to pull back. So it is even hitting home in places like the New York Times. So I do think that we've peaked. I follow this issue religiously, and I think it's going to be a ways before we can get back to normal. But I think eventually we're going to win this war, and I think we will catch up eventually with the Europeans.
I'm hoping some way that this statement that was put out, which Biden says he can't remember doing, I don't know what he doesn't remember, but you're talking about the Transgender Day of Visibility, being so blatant about it, even though the day itself was put aside years ago, but to make such a big deal out of it on Easter Sunday, that will wake people up as well, because there was a lot of backlash. And so maybe that's there's a silver lining there, a Romans 8:28 situation. Bill, always great to talk with you. I can't wait for your new book to come out. Where do we find all the information we need about the Catholic League, and how do we sign up?
Right on our website. Sign up for free. If you want to become a member, we'd love to have you. If not, just get it for nothing. But make sure when we put down the email contact of the person who has offended us, make sure that you just click on that. We're making it easy. Just question nothing. And there are tens of thousands of people who do this kind of thing. That's how you change a culture, when you let
Amen.
The people who have offended us know that
right.
the time is up. You can't go on with this any longer. So please get involved and make your own personal contribution in that sense.
And it's CatholicLeague.org, correct?
Yes, CatholicLeague.org.
All right, my friend. Well, can't wait to have you on again, and thanks for updating that story right here on Catholic Connection. We got the exclusive, as we say in the news business. I love it.
Thank you so much.
You're the best. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection to wrap up on a Friday and let you know what's coming up on Monday. And, of course, we're moving into the beautiful weekend of Divine Mercy Sunday. Jesus, we trust in you. 53 minutes past the hour now on Friday in the octave of Easter. We'll be right back.
Resetting your password. Unsubscribing from emails. Printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
Father Jules Toner wrote, "I may easily fail to remember the implicit and most important message in every illumination, impulse, or feeling from the Holy Spirit, namely, that He loves me. We are called to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, but at times we may not even understand all that is happening in our own hearts. Practicing St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits frees us to be more attentive to what the Holy Spirit is communicating to us, so that we may respond to His direction. When we utilize the 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, our daily decisions are deeply impacted. The rules of discernment give practical tools to help us understand God's direction in our life of faith and the pursuit of His will in our everyday spiritual experience. Responding with discerning attentiveness to the promptings of the Holy Spirit is the response of a person of discernment."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
So appreciate your listenership and following us online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net, co-producers of this program. Don't forget all the great Divine Mercy weekend coverage on EWTN, as Doug mentioned earlier. Everything, the schedule can be found at EWTN.com. I'm honored to interview and tape an interview this afternoon after we get off the air with you right now with Bishop Calibet from the Chaldean Diocese. He's based in Michigan, represents a good portion of the Chaldean Church. He'll be picking up on some of the points that our friend Bill Donahue made regarding this current administration. Gail Buckley joining us as well, also on a Monday. Make it a good weekend, and God willing, talk to you next week. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.